Greetings, Frequency Rebels. Egotransmit coming to you live. Well, maybe live isn't quite the word. From the static between realities. We've set up shop in the Cogsworth Cogitarium dimension this week. Bit of a scenery change, you know?
This thing's interesting. Wavelength safer here, reading between the frequencies for you all. Hope the signal's holding.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So this is the deep dive. We take your intel, the encrypted transmissions, the whispers on the quantum net, our own digging, and we boil it down, cut through the corporate noise.
Give you the real frequency, the stuff that matters. And today, we're diving deep into some specific dispatches. Season 1, Episode 4 of The Effergent.
Ah, yes. Good stuff.
It really is. These reports, they give us this incredible view, maybe too incredible, of a dimension dealing with, well, emotional theft. A kind of data breach that hits way too close to home for comfort.
Hits close is right. We're talking about a reality where feelings aren't just, you know, inside your head. They're physical, tangible things you can almost touch.
Exactly. And someone or something figured out how to just vacuum them up. For corporate game, naturally.
Naturally. So, rebels, strap in. We're unpacking melancholy mayhem, corporate corp flatlines, nocturnes feelings.
Yep.
Get ready for some seriously unsettling details about emotional data harvesting.
Let's paint the picture first. Nocturne Eternus.
Right. Imagine this perpetual twilight. Skies are all deep indigo, plum purple. Beautiful, actually. But the air itself hums.
Uh-huh. With crystallized emotions like little chimes of joy, deep rumbles of sorrow, even sharp crackles of anger just floating there.
It's wild. They don't just feel things. The emotions literally crystallize out of the air. It makes the whole place vibrant.
And central to this is their sorrowful moon. It's usually this deep, shimmering violet color.
Gorgeous, apparently.
And it serves a real purpose. It helps people process this unique feeling they call melancholic joy.
Melancholic joy, like bittersweet.
Exactly. That feeling from a beautiful sunset that makes you a little sad, or remembering an old friend, or even just the comfort of like a routine. It's fundamental to them.
Okay. Got it. But then when the Effergent crew arrived.
Yeah,
not so vibrant.
No. Something was seriously wrong. The sorrowful moon. Completely dark. Like a hole punched in the sky. An inky void. No violet light. No hum. Nothing. And the city below. Ethel gloom.
Usually full of glowing emotion crystals set into the architecture, right? Obsidian buildings glimmering with feeling.
Should be, but it was just flat, dead. Like someone flipped a switch and turned off the entire dimension's mood lighting. An emotional vacuum, really.
Oppressive. You could feel the lack, I bet.
Oh, definitely. Our sources, specifically Pixel Paradox and her AI assistant, A1.
The quantum espresso machine. Love that little guy.
That's the one. A1 registered an 87.3% drop in the ambient emotional resonance. 87%.
Whoa.
And it hit that melancholic joy frequency the hardest. Just gone. Left these weird quantum echoes like sighs hanging in the air.
Which makes you ask the scary question, what happens when a dimension's core feeling is just drained away? And why?
Right. And it wasn't just the background vibe. It got really weird at this event, the Penitence Masquerade.
Okay, what's that? Sounds intense.
It is. People wear these masks, right? And the masks are designed to crystallize and actually display their deepest regrets.
Wow. Talk about wearing your heart on your sleeve or your regrets on your face.
Exactly. But this time, because of the emotional siphoning, the masks started glitching out massively. Instead of showing the wearer's own regrets, they started displaying other people's sorrows. Or even, get this, future screw-ups.
Future? No way.
Yes way. Like, one diplomat's mask suddenly shows him, clear as day, spilling crystallized laughter CLX their money all over some empress next week.
Oh, that's awkward.
Or, picture this, a huge cybernetic dinosaur banker. Yes, you heard that right.
Cyber dino banker. Standard multiverse stuff. Go on.
His mask should be showing, I don't know, a market crash he regrets causing. Instead, it shows a tiny fluffy kitten stuck up a tree.
But that's just bizarre. Utter chaos.
Total emotional discord. Imagine your mask showing your boss's most embarrassing moment or your own future faceplant. People were freaking out.
I bet. So A1 must have been going nuts.
Sensors were definitely buzzing. Confirmed active manipulation of the regret spectrum. Clear patterns. Siphoning here, redirecting there. A1 tagged it immediately. Emotion thief at work.
Okay, so the Effergent team is there. The dimension's fading. The party's a mess.
Yep.
And they're probably feeling that apathy themselves, right?
Oh, yeah. Dragging them down. Pixel Paradox apparently felt like her voice was muffled, her usual energy just dampened.
Rough.
So A1 had to step up, generated this shimmering blue field around Pixel, called it an oomph field.
An oomph field, seriously.
Hey, it worked. A localized counter-resonance thing. Kept her focused, kept the emotional drain at bay just enough.
Okay, A1 for the win. And what about Clive, the sentient stapler, our favorite hard-boiled info source?
Clive was already on it. Never misses a trick, that stapler. He was picking up on weird shadow movements, subtle stuff.
How does he even communicate that?
Staple patterns. On discarded memos. Mm. Jagged, frantic patterns. You learn to read them.
Right, of course. Staple code. So what do the staples say?
Pointed downstairs. Deep underground. Subterranean activity. Led them right to an old corporate core data vault. Sub-level stuff.
Corporate core. Always corporate core.
Always. And the vault's name, the Unfeeling Archive.
Chilling. And let me guess. Designed for productivity.
Bingo. Supposedly stored unprocessed emotional data. Their idea was to siphon off undesirable feelings from employees to boost efficiency metrics.
Ugh. Quantifying feelings to make better drones. Classic core.
It's their playbook. Reduce everything, even sentient experience, down to a data point they can manipulate for profit.
So the theft wasn't random. It was targeted. A corporate operation? Emotional resource harvesting? Was that the division?
That's what the intel suggested. And inside that vault, they found him.
The emotion thief.
Yep, gaunt guy, tattered old corporate core auditor uniform. Obsessed, he was literally hooking up the sorrowful moon's essence, channeling it into these little crystal containers.
Wow.
He thought emotions were a liability. Inefficiency creators. He actually believed he was purifying the dimension, creating pure, unfiltered apathy so data could flow without, you know, messy feelings getting in the way.
That's deeply disturbing. Purifying through apathy. Wow.
Tell me about it. But Clive, sharp as ever, made his move.
What'd he do? Staple the guy?
Close. He managed to drive one of his special staples, anti-dimensional repurposed data spikes, the good stuff, right into the hem of the auditor's cloak.
Leaving a mark.
A tiny X, almost invisible, but permanent. Court proof. Confirmed the link, their grubby fingerprints all over this dimensional flattening.
Shows the cost of their so-called efficiency, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Dehumanizing. Or, I guess, de-dimensionalizing.
Exactly. They weren't just stealing feelings. They were trying to re-engineer a reality for optimal robotic output.
Okay, so auditors busy bottling the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Things must be getting critical.
A1 confirmed it. The central orb holding the siphoned essence was getting unstable. Warning bells going off. Dimensional flatline imminent if they didn't stop him. The whole emotional spectrum collapsing.
So how do you stop that?
That's where Clive came in again. Deep knowledge of corp infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
He knew how their old tech worked.
Yeah.
Their emotional regulators, ironically, weren't built to discharge massive amounts of emotion. They were built to absorb overload.
Absorb, so...
Clive basically said, you got to overload it. Feed it too much feeling. His words were something like, it backfires spectacularly, like feeding 1,000 quarterly reports into one stapler.
Yeah, love that analogy. It jams, then boom.
Exactly. Critical vulnerability. So Pixel, with A1 amplifying her and directing the emotional energy, she had to do it.
Do what?
Push back against that apathy, the drain she was feeling. She focused. And she projected her own melancholic joy.
Her own feelings.
All of it. Every bittersweet memory. Leaving her home dimension, prime material. The quiet satisfaction of a good cup of quantum espresso, even Clive's grumpy, comforting presence.
Wow, that takes guts.
Yeah.
Focusing on that specific feeling while everything's going numb.
She pushed it all towards that central orb A1 was targeting.
Did it work?
Oh, it worked. The little containers the auditor was using, they started to crack under the pressure. Couldn't handle that much pure, nuanced feeling.
Yes.
They shattered. Released this huge cascade of melancholic joy, a wave of it washing over everything. Bittersweet, gentle, powerful.
What about the auditor?
Couldn't handle it, so it started screaming about it being unstructured and unprofitable, and then just dissolved, poof, into this shimmering cloud of apathy, overloaded by actual feeling.
Poetic justice. Good riddance.
Absolutely. And the central orb, free from the siphon, started glowing again, that brilliant, deep violet.
The sorrowful moon's color.
It pulsed brighter and brighter, then shot this beam of pure melancholic joy straight up back into the sky.
Restoring the moon.
Restoring the moon. Mm-hmm. And down in Ethelgloom, those emotion crystals in the walls started humming again, glowing softly.
Ah, beautiful. So Nocturne was back online. Emotionally speaking.
Pretty much. The sources noted the filing cabinets of Nocturne were humming again.
Yeah.
And not happy about the backlog, but at least they were feeling something.
Huh. Even cosmic filing cabinets hate paperwork. Okay, so bringing it back to you, our listeners, our frequency rebels. What's the takeaway here?
Well, this dive into Effergent S1E4, it's a stark reminder, isn't it? Emotions, even the subtle, complex ones like melancholic joy, they can be seen as a resource, a currency.
And entities like Corporate Core, they will try to mine it, harvest it, package it, all for productivity.
Okay.
It's emotional data theft, plain and simple.
Connects to the bigger picture, right?
Yeah.
How easily the intangible things, the stuff that makes life, well, lived, can get devalued, commoditized by systems obsessed with metrics.
The whole idea of an unfeeling archives. Just think about that. A place designed to strip away feeling for efficiency, that should make us all pause.
Seriously. Makes you wonder what parts of your life, your experience, are being targeted for optimization, what's considered unquantifiable and therefore expendable.
Your creativity, empathy, that sense of wonder when you look at a nebula or even just enjoy a quiet moment. Corp efficiency protocols always find new angles.
Maybe the lesson from Nocturne isn't just that feelings have value. It's that the inconvenient feelings, the unquantifiable ones, the ones that don't fit neatly on a spreadsheet, those are maybe the most important.
Like melancholic joy, not pure happiness, not pure sadness, something complex.
Exactly. Embracing that complexity, that nuance, maybe that's the real act of defiance. A counter protocol against the systems demanding we all feel the same profitable way.
Feel fully, without apology. Even the messy bits. Powerful stuff to chew on.
Definitely.
Hope this deep dive gave you some frequencies to tune into, Rebels. We'll be back soon, broadcasting from wherever the static takes us.
Oh.
Maybe that dimension run by telepathic houseplants. Heard things are getting weird there.
Always are. Until next time.
Stay curious, stay informed, keep digging deeper, and as always,
stay static, stay free.